Thank you. Bless you all. Before I start, I'm just going to say a prayer. Divine, please set aside everything I think I know about myself, my recovery, and you, so that I may have an open mind and a new experience with all these things. Please let me see the truth. Divine, may the words be thine and the voice be mine as I share my experience, strength, and hope today. I am feeling extremely emotional, so I've went and rescued my tissues in case I needed them, because I just absolutely adore every person in this meeting. I just am so grateful you have helped me in immeasurable ways. I'll tell you a wee bit about my background and then what it was like, what happened, and what it is like now. I grew up in an alcoholic, dysfunctional family. My mother and father were devout Catholics, and I was number six of eight. There were 23 years difference between my oldest sibling and my youngest sibling. I'm a survivor of childhood sexual abuse within the family and without. and I've had a lot of trauma, including the death of my beloved alcoholic father when I was eight. He died in his sleep. And my family, in its wisdom, decided it was a good idea not for me to for me not to be at the funeral. And I think probably because I would have kicked off, because I was very emotional. Anyway, I think what happened after that point, because my father was the only person I really felt loved me in my family, I found that really, really difficult. And I actually shut down. I was a silent child, which may surprise you, very invisible. And I think actually now I was probably quite depressed that nobody would have picked that up at that time. I mean, that was 62 years ago. So I survived living in my family. There was a lot of toxicity. There was sibling cruelty, and I never felt safe. Throughout my childhood, I was always in a perpetual fear, sometimes terror, that I was going to get into trouble for either saying the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing, and that I would be very severely punished. And I think my siblings told me that. My first memory of compulsive eating was when I was five. And I'm really grateful that my sponsor at the time got me to write my food story, my relationship with food, before I did my first step, because it was so evident that I'd always had a problem of using food to medicate. In our house, because my mother was a widow and there wasn't much money, we were quite poor. Food was regulated, controlled, and measured. Not actually measured, but you knew this was yours, and you weren't going to get any more. And so I think that set up something for me, because I knew that food comforted me, and I knew that it was sugar. I would steal money, steal food, to buy food as a child. As a teenager, I shoplifted, took money from a braille collection, a blind foundation collection. I was a volunteer with a friend collecting money, and we stole the money and ate with it, So I have no doubt that I am a compulsive overeater, and as it would say in the big book of the, I'm a real, real compulsive overeater. When I left home, I went nursing. Prior to that, I was waitressing, and food was always available. And of course, my weight increased because I would eat and eat and eat. It was not like that in my home, my family home. And I've got a history of dieting, using appetite suppressants, and I was addicted to those for 2 years. I'm also an alcoholic. And I've got various other addictions. I'm cross addicted. And I believe that, for a long time, I believed that the reason that I was the way I was because I was, a survivor of trauma. And that is true to a certain extent. But what I learned in these rooms was
Five
that,
minutes, shall we?
thank you, that the reasons for the disease are unimportant, and that I needed to hear that every day when I was coming to this meeting, every day, because in another fellowship that I'm in recovery from, they are important. The reasons are important. So what happened for me was about 15, no, it can't be. Yeah, maybe 15 months ago. I hit another rock bottom. I'd hit a rock bottom when I first came into these rooms in 1990. I lost the weight. Food had become a problem because I had given up alcohol. And I was terrified of going back to the drink. So I know in hindsight, I needed to cultivate that same fear around the food. I have it today. I know this disease kills. I know I see it. So what happened for me was throughout the years, I had 5 years abstinence when I first came into this program. But on reflection, I was not happy. I was in my sex and love addiction, and I was white knuckling a lot of the time. I got into a relationship, lost my abstinence, I relapsed. And so for a period of time, I've been in and out of relapse, but I have never left. I've never left. I've kept coming back whether I've been eating or not. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'm really grateful that I kept bloody sticking to it because, that stubbornness, which could be a defect of character, has actually helped me, because I've bloody well persevered. I've persevered. Anyway, December, no, it was September, after September, no, October 2023, I was sharing in Burning Desires that I was desperate. I was desperate. I could not control the food. I'd been coming to meetings for this big book meeting for 2 years, and I could not, I couldn't do what I was doing anymore. My way was not working. I shared in Burning Desires, and I was full of self-incrimination, it was self-abuse, because I blame myself for not being perfect. A beautiful person in this meeting who was relatively new messaged me and said to me, "What if God has something even better for you?" And when I read that, I cried because it was like she was giving me hope, a beacon of hope. And so that was what started me on this journey again. And I got a sponsor who I love. She cares about me. I care about her. She has helped me immeasurably. Oh, I'm going to cry. I'm just so grateful because I want to give a big shout out to this meeting because I have always felt accepted. I have always felt loved. I have never felt judged. I know that I have been accepted exactly where I am, and I love that. And I love the person who said it, to meet yourself where you're at. So, the breakthrough for me to actually believe that God had something even better was huge. It was so powerful. I began working the steps with my sponsor. I've done all 12. I'm sponsoring. I'm also in, because I'm in other fellowships, I co-sponsor and sponsor in them. And I am just so grateful. If anybody here is struggling, if anybody here thinks that they'll never get it, please don't give up. Please don't give up because it will happen. My spiritual practice is one of the tools I use to keep me connected to my higher power, who is love. I've let go of a whole lot of my old beliefs and I've embraced new ones. And, the God of my childhood, I was frightened of. I no longer have fear around my higher power. I know that my higher power loves me. She wants me to be happy, joyous, and free. And she wants me to share this, you know, like I just feel so privileged to be able to share my story. And if it can help somebody, I feel blessed. What it's like now is like it's like the difference between night and day. I have a life today. I have a lot of people that love me and that I love, including my family. I've been able to make living amends to my two daughters, who I believed I caused harm to in my drinking and eating and other behaviours. And, you know, God is good, because what happened for me is I supported my youngest daughter and her husband and my two grandchildren to live with me for 2 years so they could save to buy a house, because I don't have money. I have lots of other things, but money's short on
Sorry,
the list.
Shelley, you have 9 minutes left.
Bless you. Thank you. One of the gifts of them living here for me was that it made me get to meetings. And it also gave me an opportunity to do some healing with my daughter when she brought up stuff from her childhood. And you know, God is good, because I was able to say, "You are right. That was wrong. You know, what I did was wrong." And so it was an immense healing journey and confronting. But the rewards now, like I feel so close to her, and I tell her every day I love her and appreciate her. I am really grateful that I can have a plan of eating, which means I am sober. I'm grateful that I've been guided to look at my behaviors around food, because for me, I've had body dysmorphia, but I do body checking. I used to say that I didn't have an anorectic cell in my body, but that's bullshit, because I was a constant dieter. I was constantly restricting with dieting. And then as soon as I'd finished dieting, you know, I'd get to the goal weight, and then poof, bits were off. I'm just really, really want to really encourage people to really use the tools, because I think not only do the service meetings, abstinence, outreach, writing is my favorite tool. Yeah, that's my favorite tool. I write every day, and when I go to bed at night, I thank my higher power for all the blessings of my day. Gratitude is a huge part of my recovery, you know, that I'm really grateful. I'm even grateful for my past, my trauma, the abuse, because it got me to where I am today. You know, if I didn't have alcoholism and all these addictions and got into recovery, I wouldn't be living this life. And yeah, and so my spiritual relationship is vital. I connect with my higher power all the time, every day. I bless my food. I give thanks at night. And one of my prayers is that I ask Divine, please show me where you would have me go, what you would have me do, what you would have me say, and to whom. That's from A Course in Miracles, because I'm a student in the Course in Miracles, and that is why I know God is love. I know God is love. What else? I think that's really about all I can say. Yeah, I just really know one of the most important things that I can do in my recovery for myself and my loved ones and my friends and family in recovery is to talk about the need to be curious about things when I do something that is not in alignment with being authentic. You know, instead of the old family messages and my internalized critical parents, I come to it with curiosity and openness and gentleness, kindness, and love. Being self-forgiving and having self-compassion go hand in hand for me. Because I believe I was created in love, and that my purpose on this planet, and I'm sorry, Gandhi, I'm paraphrasing here, but is to be the love that I want to see in the world. Forgiving ourselves for every transgression. And, one of the things that
Eight
happened for
minutes
me,
left.
thank you. One of the things that happened for me in this program has been that, to be treat myself with loving kindness, because that is what my higher power wants. Doesn't mean I'm a saint. I'll never be a bloody saint. But I think I've come to peace with the criticism, judgment, and perfectionism instilled in me as a child. And I've forgiven my parents, like miracles happen. If you feel like that this is not going to work, keep at it because it does. And please, please, please don't leave before the miracle happens. I'll finish on this. This is my vow of self-compassion, which I say every day. I vow to not self-harm today. I love you all. Thank you. Pass.